see everyone this morning. I was telling someone I didn't think it was quite as hot as it was last Sunday morning, but it's going to get that way, I'm sure. Thank you for praying with us and for us. We did get a lot of stuff moved down yesterday. A lot of stuff has changed over the last week. A lot of plans have changed, but I believe it's what the Lord wants. He's opened up some doors, and I think when the Lord opens up a door and it's very clear, you better just walk through it. Don't ask questions, just walk through the door and trust the Lord, and that's what we're doing. For those of you who don't know and maybe haven't heard, we are moving down right away. I put in a couple-week notice up at the job in Prattville. Our house went up for sale Friday night. So there's something to pray for. I should have said it a couple minutes ago. Please be praying that our house will sell soon. And it looks like it's going to, but just be praying that the Lord will have his way there and that'll get done efficiently. And in his time, that would be wonderful. 1 John chapter number 1 this morning. 1 John chapter number 1. Before I get started, I just want to say a thank you to Miss Sheena and Miss Molly for the sign. They did a wonderful job out there. I know it might not mean much to you, but it was odd going to bed last night and waking up this morning and seeing my name on that sign. I don't say that pridefully. I say that respectfully, and it was a very neat time. I went over and I took a picture of it, and they did a wonderful job. And I just want to say thank you again, church, for trusting us and trusting the Lord. And that's what we're going to do. And together, I think New Hope Independent Baptist Church will see great things as we seek the Lord and follow Him together in unity. But thank you again for loving us. Thank you for all the ones who have helped our family yesterday. Many, many people called and asked to help, and we had a lot of the work done pretty quick. It was good. That's one of the advantages of having a lot of kids. They just go unload that trailer, and you look, and it's done. And like, praise the Lord. Didn't have to do it by ourselves, but thank you, Brother Dave, driving up to Prattville yesterday, loading up his trailer for us and bringing it back down. That was a real blessing. But Brother Thomas, he did a good job. He took the boys fishing last night. They had a good time out with Brother Thomas. Good stories, making memories already. But thank you, church, for everything. 1 John chapter number 2, I should say, not chapter number 1. We were in chapter 1 last week. I'm going to try to go through this book. It'll take some time, but I love the book of 1 John. I love the whole Bible. It's all good. You study it long enough, you realize that God has something for you all through His Word. It's all good, it's all important, and it's all profitable for us. But 1 John chapter number 2 this morning, I'm going to pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your Word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross, Lord, and shedding your blood for our sins. Lord, I ask you now to meet with us this morning, Lord. Bind the devil off this place, Lord. Get him out of here. We don't want him even on this property. We'd love the Holy Spirit to come in this morning and just meet with us. Lord, help us glean from your Word and help us learn some things this morning, some basic instructions from your Word. Lord, I ask you now to cleanse me of sin. Lord, empty me of self. Fill me with your Spirit. Thank you for this opportunity you've given us. Lord, just meet with us now in this Sunday school hour, Lord, as we learn from your Word. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Verse number 1. We'll not go much. We're going to read a couple of verses, but we're going to be in verse number 1 probably for the next 2 or 3 Sundays. I know that sounds like a lot for one verse, but there's an awful lot when you get on down into the latter part of this and talking about that advocate in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we do have an advocate in Jesus, aren't you? The next couple of weeks, we'll not talk about that today, but we're going to talk about that advocate and some of the characteristics and some of the advantages that we have because of that advocate, Jesus. But today we'll focus in the first part of verse 1. The Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." I want to read that second verse again. He is the propitiation for our sins. So if you're reading that on a personal level, you'll realize that you do have a propitiation for your sins. Each and every one of us do. But then the Bible goes on to say, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. I'm thankful we serve a God big enough that had a son good enough and sweet enough and big enough to die for each and every one of our sins. Isn't that a good thing to understand that this morning? Without that propitiation, without that sacrifice, we'd be in a mess, folks. we'd be in a big mess. But today we're not going to talk about that. We're going to go back up to the top of verse number 1. The Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." Now I'm going to try to get through the first 2 points pretty quick. And as we get to the third point, I'm going to ask some people to give some examples. So if you don't mind, anybody nervous to speak in front of people? Not up here, but you can do it from your seat. But Brother Scott said, "Nope, me." Brother Randy, put your hand down. Didn't take me long to get comfortable with Brother Randy. I love Brother Randy. He's been a big help to us. But I want you to start thinking of, you know, as parents, we're going to go through three things that the Father is to us today. And the last one is going to be God is a precaution. You know, how many of you remember stories maybe in your past when your parents gave you a precaution not to do something and you did it anyway and you paid the consequence? Anybody got any examples of that? Well, be thinking of them in your mind. This Brother Joe's over here saying, "Hey, I got plenty of those." He looks like he might have some good stories. I cannot wait to get closer to that fella. But look, the last 10 minutes or so, if we have time and you want to share those, I'm going to share one or two with you of me, and you'll laugh. Some of you might cry. You're going to laugh so hard. But look, I think it's a good thing to have a good time in church. Okay, so be thinking of some good examples maybe in your past when you were warned not to do something. And, you know, you might have some funny ones, and you might have some serious ones. And really, that's what we really want to think about. God gives us some instructions in life sometimes, and we don't follow Him, and we know that there's payment for that. So be thinking about that, and if you want to share that the last few minutes, we'll give you some time to do that. Number one, we see that God calls us His little children. He calls us His children, which means He is our Father. And as a Father, God has some attributes that He carries with that title. He, number one, is a protector of His children. God is a protector of His children. Now, we're not necessarily just talking to dads here today. We have mothers and fathers in the building, grandmas, grandpas. You're still a mother or father. But look, let me ask you this, mom, dad, is there anything you wouldn't do to protect your children? If you saw your little baby boy or your little baby girl or your baby granddaughter or your baby grandson in danger, everything inside of you would want to protect them. Anybody agree with that? Say amen. Every one of us. I mean, I have 6 babies on this earth that God has granted me a few short years to raise them. And Lord willing, we do a good job. We're trying to do a good job. And with the help of others and the prayer life of others around us, you know, we take instruction from people. But look, I've never thought that I don't want to protect my children. I always want to protect my children. Well, I wonder how much more does God look down at me, just a crazy preacher who's trying to stand up and preach His word that's perfect. I wonder how much more as I go through my week and I struggle. Now, does anyone in here not struggle through the week? I struggle spiritually. I struggle physically. I struggle emotionally, just like each and every one of you do. And listen, God looks down and He sees that and He says, "I sure would love to protect you." And by the way, He does protect us. He gives us some assurance of that protection. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 41. Let me show you just how much He cares about you. Here we know He's talking to the nation of Israel here, but listen, you understand that we are God's people, right? Isaiah 41, look in verse number 9. The Bible says, "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief man thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away." He says, "Fear thou not." You know, in life, a lot of us walk around fearful. You know, the Bible says that our spirit's not to be a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. We should not walk around as Christians fearing if we're going to be protected. And now I understand in earth sometimes, on this earth sometimes, you get in situations where you feel nervous and you feel scared. But I'm talking about things that are out of our control, like maybe something comes up and you're wondering, how in the world am I going to take care of this problem? How in the world am I going to pay for that? Well, can I tell you something? The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee." What does that mean? That means if you are being faithful as an individual in everything that God tells you to do, if you're putting God first in everything, the Bible, pretty much paraphrasing, says He has no choice but to take care of you. And can I say this? For God not to take care of you would make Him a liar. And does everybody understand that God is truth? God is not a liar. He cannot lie. But read the rest of this verse, number 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I wonder how many have ever been walking along in life and you just feel like no one cares. You know, it's easy to get in, and we look at people like that sometimes and we say, well, just get over your pity fit there. But look, if you've ever been in a dark spot before, I don't know about you, but I've been in some pretty dark spots before. And sometimes you really just feel like you're all alone. And that's not a very good feeling. When those around you don't want to hear what you have to say, you know, sometimes and I hate to say it, but even sometimes those closest to you sometimes look at you and they're just like, well, you're a lost cause. There's not much we can do for you. You've had this problem over and over and over and over again. But God said, fear not, for I am with thee. Here's the beautiful part about salvation. When we got saved, we inherited something called the Holy Ghost. And that's something that we cannot lose. That's something to be excited about as a Christian. I can't go to hell. I can't get rid of the Holy Ghost. If I wanted to get rid of the Holy Ghost, there's nothing I can do about it. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But how often do we forsake him? Now, there's no way we can say, okay, Holy Ghost, I'm going to get you over here. I'm going to sit you here. You can't go with me. That's not how it works. Now, we can sure not heed to him. We can sure not pay him any attention. We can surely wake up in the morning and not pray. We can surely wake up in the morning and not open our Bibles and acknowledge that God, through the Holy Ghost, is trying to show us some discernment, some good, and try to discern good and bad. He's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. It's easy not to start our day with God. Real easy, especially when you get in a habit and you get in a hurry. You got to make time for the Lord. But he said, I am with thee. Then he said, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Aren't you glad that we have a God that strengthens us? The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So what does that mean? Here's what I like to think about. If the joy of the Lord as a Christian is my strength, what I need to figure out is how can I make God happy if I want to be strong? If I want to be strong, and I'm not talking about lifting weights strong, I don't care about that anymore. I'm too old for that anymore. But now I used to care about that. But I'm talking about if I want to be strong in my spiritual life, if I want to be strong and be a good dad, if I want to be strong and be a good husband, if I want to be strong and be a good pastor, if I want to be strong and be a good leader, how can I make the Lord happy? If the joy of the Lord is my strength, I got to start figuring out how I can make God happy. Well, I can tell you how you can't make him happy is living in rebellion to his word. When God, and you know, we could go over it for hours and hours and hours. The truth is, if God says do it, church, we ought to just what? And if he said don't do it, we what? Don't do it. But often, we look at those don't do's and we're thinking, well, I really like to do that. You remember Paul when he said, those things that I don't want to do, these are the things that I do. The things that I want to do, these are the things I don't do. Listen, anybody else like that? All the time. And why? It's because we have an enemy. We have an adversary, the devil. We have a spiritual warfare battle going on every day with our flesh and our spirit. But can I say this? Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Here's another verse. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen, there's never going to be a time where sin is present in your life that grace is not going to be much more present. What you got to learn to do is heed to the grace. You got to learn to heed to the grace. So, he says, I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Then he says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, so what does that mean? Every time I fall, usually when we fall on our face, we weren't heeding to God anyway. If the Bible says he's going to uphold thee with the right hand of his righteousness, what I need to start doing is seeking God. I need to start asking God, okay, I failed at this one time, I failed at this two times, and if you're like me, you failed at it again and again and again. Why? Because we want to do it our way. When God clearly says, hey, there's a better way, there's another way, there's a God way, it's time to seek the God way. And let him uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. By the way, church, look, did you know our righteousness is as filthy rags? That's what the Bible calls our righteousness. That's how good we are. There's none good. No, not one. The most righteousness you could possibly have is nothing but a filthy rag in the eyes of God. But oh, when we heed to the Father of lights. As a father and mother, you would do anything to make sure no one or nothing ever hurts your children. Can I say our Heavenly Father is like that to us? We see that He's a protector. Number two, we see that He's a provider for His children. Go to Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. A verse that most of you could quote by heart. Probably all of you have learned it at some point in your life in church. Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Here's Paul talking to the church saying, "But my God." Paul is making this a very personal thing. He wants this church to understand so bad that he's talking about his God. He said, "Look, church, quit worrying about things. Quit worrying about what you're going to do, what you're going to wear." We'll go to another verse here in a second. But he said, "But my God shall supply." And then he didn't say all my need. He said all your need. He wanted the church to understand that the same God that had brought him through all those trials in those prison times, all those trials in those persecution times, the same God that supplied the grace for him would supply the grace to the church as they needed it. He wanted them to understand, as personal as God was to him, that's how personal he wanted God to be to the church. Hey, church, listen, if we'd catch a hold of God like Paul did, we'd be different individuals. I know I would be. He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Start in verse number 25. Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." That's a pretty bold statement. Jesus is speaking here, by the way. Jesus said, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink." Now, these are things that we think about every single day. Is it not? We think about what we're going to eat for dinner. What are we going to drink for dinner? You go to a restaurant, they ask you what you want to eat, what you want to drink, right? Here's what Jesus said. Don't think about that stuff. Think about nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat? Or what shall ye drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And here it is, church. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love it when you read the Bible. Now, sometimes in the Bible, let's just be honest, you read sometimes in the Bible, and the Bible says not to do a lot of things, and there's never a real answer. See, I have a problem asking the question, why? I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I'm reading this thing, and I'm like, why would you say that? Well, here, he went through 8 or 9 verses of don't do this, 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 don't do this. And then he said, but here's what you do instead of that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, church, if we were worried about lost souls like we were worried about ourselves, man, how many more people would be sitting on the pews in the church today? How many more individuals would be able to call heaven their home if we worried about the kingdom of God and His righteousness versus worrying about what we need, what we don't have, what we could have, what we might have, what can we do to make ourselves better? You remember the story in the Bible where the guy's barns were so full, they were running over, and the guy came to him and he said, what are you going to do with all this? Instead of being smart and saying, let me give some away to people, let me just give, God's given in abundance, he said, look what I've done. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to build some more barns and store it up for myself. Hey, I wonder how many of us are like that. Wonder how many of us that God has blessed so tremendously and we're so selfish to realize that without God we'd have nothing. In the first place, the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34 says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In Bible college, I had a teacher, Brother Murray. He's dead now and gone, but he's a hero of mine, and one of his favorite things to say was, there's no such thing as tomorrow, because when tomorrow gets here, it'll be today. Folks, we shouldn't worry about what we're going to do tomorrow. The truth is, for you to say, I'm going to go do this tomorrow, you have no idea what you're going to do tomorrow. Your world could get flipped upside down in just a couple of minutes. You could lose someone. You could be gone in just a couple of minutes. You don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. You can assume, but the truth is, you shouldn't be thinking about that. You should be thinking about right now and what's going on around you right now. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now here we are, number three. I told you we'd get to this. So how many of you have been thinking of stories that I asked you to think about? I got a couple I'll share with you. If you want to share them, I'll give you an opportunity in just a second. Let me get through the point here. Number three, we see that God is not only a protector, not only a provider, but we see he gives us a precaution. What is a precaution? It's a measure taken in advance to prevent something dangerous. I had one of those this morning. You know, the young lady on the back row back there, she said, could you please tell your kids for me that swing set is getting a little bit too dangerous? I said, yes, ma'am, I'll do that. Thank you for looking out for my kids. Why'd she do that? Now, me, I'll be honest with you. I didn't see it, and I'm thankful she did, and thank the Lord we have people like that that pay attention to stuff like that, because me, I'd been like, well, if he falls off the swing, I guess, good luck, buddy. but thank the Lord we have people that are still, you know, smart enough to realize and see that that could injure one of them. Church, listen, we have a God like that. We have a God that says, sin not. Look in the verse number 1, chapter 2, 1 John. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Not. Now look, is it impossible to walk this earth and not sin? I believe the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He that saith he is without sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think it's very, you know, clear that we are sinners. But there's a difference in choosing to sin all of the time and messing up and repenting and going back the way you should go. There's a big difference in saying, oops, that thought wasn't from the Lord. God, please take that thought away from me. Or, man, I really shouldn't have done that. Lord, will you please forgive me and get back on the straight and narrow? Versus waking up every day and actively living and choosing to sin. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, in life, you know, we've always had parents tell us, hey, don't do that. Sometimes they said, don't do that. And here's what, now I don't know how you guys are, but I hated it. When my mom or my grandpa never did this. He was more of a kind, compassionate, loving fella. He'd always put his arm around me, and he would explain things. You know, this is why you don't do this. My mom and grandma, they were just rude. Like, I mean, they'd say, because I said so. And I'm like, now I'm definitely doing it. Well, I remember one time we had this tree out in my great-grandma's front yard. It was an old oak tree, and I used to shimmy up this thing, and I'd go way up there. Well, lightning struck the thing in a lightning storm one time, and over the course of a couple of years, it started dying. And my grandma, she'd come out there, and my great-grandma even, she'd be out there hobbling around on her cane. She'd say, you don't need to get in that tree. Your thing, them limbs are dying. They're not going to hold you up. I'm like, are you calling me fat? You know, that's what I'm thinking. I've been climbing this tree for years. Just go back inside before you get hurt. It's too hot out here for you. You know, let me climb the tree. But she said, Drew, you don't need to be on that tree. And I remember one day she was sitting on the front porch and I shimmied up that tree. And she said, you need to get down from there. I said, in my mind, you can't make me get down. You're not coming up this tree. So what do? I looked up, and I think, I can get a little bit higher. And I noticed that about 2 or 3 foot above my head, the branch that I used to step on was starting to look real frail. And I'm like, well, maybe it's got one more climb in it. And I'm sitting there, and she said, you need to get down. You need to get down. You're going to fall. And I'm not kidding. I got on up there. I pulled myself. It held my body weight when I pulled up. But man, when I stepped on the thing, it cracked. And as I came down, I hit my chin on one of the branches, and I fell face first, sprawled just like this, on a root of that tree. And, oh, it was awful. I mean, my lips were about 3 times the size of anybody's lips should ever be. My nose was messed up. My eyes were black and blue. And my Aunt Kay and my great-grandma walked down the steps, and she said, don't you wish you would have got down earlier? I'm like, no sympathy. I'm black. I'm blue. I'm bleeding. Like, I need your help. She's like, well, we tried to help you a few minutes ago, son, when we told you to get out of the tree. Hey, look, God gives us some precautions in His Bible. He tells us to sin not. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. This is why He hates sin so much, because His only begotten Son, Jesus, had to die for your sins. That was the only way this is why God sees the ultimate punishment for sin. He's already experienced it, church. When He had to send Jesus, His only begotten Son, before the foundations of the world to be hung out on a cross for your sins. And He's giving us some precautions. You know, I think every time we sin, God has a memory in His mind of His Son hanging on that cross. Even though He turned His back that day, and you know, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I can't help but think the memory that might run through God's memory bank. And thinking about His Son hanging there before the foundations of the world, and He's thinking, Son, I love you, I protect you, I provide for you, and I've given you some precautions. Can you please just stop willingly living in sin? I don't think God likes it when we choose to sin. I think a lot of people misunderstand the seriousness of sin. I think everybody has this mentality, well, you know, I'm saved, I can do what I want. Guys, we don't have freedom to sin. We have freedom from sin. There's a huge difference. Yes, if you're saved, yes, you are going to die and you are going to go to heaven. But listen, that does not give you a license to live like you want to live. Someone had to pay for you to have that ability to go to heaven. The sin has been paid for, but we have a Father who's given us some precaution. I could give you a couple more stories, but I want to open up the floor now. Does anyone want to raise their hand and give us a story maybe from your childhood or recent years? Brother Joe, go ahead. Amen. Someone else want to share something? Brother Andy. That's the rest of the story. Someone else want to share something? You know, just a good, fun. Praise the Lord.
I was
Ooh, mercy. Someone else, we got a couple more minutes. Someone else want to share? Let's see where that's going. Facebook. Yep. That's how my grandma was, man. She'd sometimes make me wait for days to whip me anyway. You know? Man. Think about it. Yeah. Ooh. One more. Anyone else want to share? Miss Crystal. Spruce trees. Makes you wonder if Pocahontas used unleaded. I doubt it. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for allowing us to come and just smile and laugh and open up your word, Lord, this morning and learn some things. And Lord, help us to take precautions from a Father who does provide and a Father who does protect and one who, Lord, tries to tell us over and over again some things we shouldn't do. Lord, help us to just learn to just heed to you. And Lord, how much better as of a person we'd be, an individual we'd be. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for these people. Lord, bless us in our next hour. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.